I don't know if you're aware of how many blind people there are in the world. I just recently looked it up, and there's estimates between 40 and 45 million blind people, legally blind people in the world. I thought that was kind of a low number considering there's about nearly 7 billion people. But still, these 40 or 45 million people, they're from all the different nations. About 1.4 million of them are children. Most people become blind as they get older, and they lose their sight. It gets worse and worse until they're legally blind. But there are 40 or 45 million blind people today, and we know all through history there's been blind people. Christ opened up the eyes of the blind, we read of in the Bible. And someone who is totally blind will have no perception of light. Will have no perception. Others can be legally blind and they can still perceive some light. They can make out maybe some things. Remember the one account of the man in the Bible who Christ healed, it was a two-part healing. In the first part, he saw men as trees walking, so it was still very blurry. He couldn't quite make it out. And then Jesus completely healed him, and he saw normally, just like we see today. And most people see normally. We can see the trees, we can see the grass, we can see mountains, streams, we see other people, we see colors and shapes, and it's really a great blessing to be able to see. And yet there are some people that have always been in the world who cannot see. And they're actually a great example of something the Bible talks about, which is spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness. That's on a different realm. It's not talking about physical blindness. We understand physical blindness. We wouldn't expect certain things of physically blind people because we know they're blind and they can't see. But spiritual blindness is on a totally different level. And you don't know if somebody's spiritually blind or not, really. But one thing we do know, that everyone born into the world is spiritually blind, because we're born in sin, and we're brought into this world in that sinful condition. Now let's look at just some of what God says about spiritual blindness in 2 Corinthians chapter 3. And I'm going to start reading in verse 12. Seeing then that we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech, and not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds were blinded. Now, a little further on in chapter 4, there's another reference to their minds are blinded. But it's two different Greek words for blinded. This particular word is a word that is used, for example, in John chapter 12 and verse 37, where it says, "But though he had done so many miracles before them, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who has believed our report, and to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart." The word harden is the Greek word, the same Greek word blinded, in 2 Corinthians 3. Not the first. There's another word here, blinded. That's not the same word. Harden their heart is the same word as blinded that we read in 2 Corinthians 3, that he has blinded their minds. Or harden their heart is basically another way of saying the same thing. And I'll finish reading there, and then we'll go back to 2 Corinthians. John 12, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted, and I should heal them. Now, who hardened their heart? Who blinded their eyes in John? God. Now, we'll talk about that a little bit later. But going back to 2 Corinthians 3, verse 14, but their minds were blinded or hardened, for until this day remaineth the same veil untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now, the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. Chapter 4. Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. God is saying that man is blind. Mankind is blind. Remember the world in the fourth gospel, chapter 1? The world's in darkness, and then came the light into the world, who is Christ. And God uses that figure because men are in darkness, and that's about the best way we can explain blindness. You're in the dark. You can't see. You can't see anything. And I'm sure just about everybody has at one point tried to see what it's like to be blind, and you close your eyes and you try to make your way across the room. And I don't know. That's not how it is in every case, because there's levels of blindness. But in those that have no light perception, that's exactly how it is. It's dark, and you cannot make things out. It says, once again, 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them which believe not. Who is it that blinded the minds of the people we read about in the Gospel of John? Was it Satan? It was God. Who is the God of this world? God. God is the one who blinds. We don't read about Satan blinding anyone, but God. If you look at Exodus 4, and by the way, just to make sure that proper credit is given, I heard this in one of Mr. Camping's studies. It's not something I discovered. In Exodus 4, verse 11, and Jehovah said unto him, who has made man's mouth, or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I, Jehovah? God makes blind. God makes deaf. He makes dumb. And that's true on a physical level. And it's true on a spiritual level, because God cursed man. He cursed man when man sinned. And as a result of that curse, he blinded man spiritually. He actually, You know, we say man is spiritually blind, but the condition of man is far worse than that. We're also deaf. We're also dumb. We're also lame. And we're also dead. I mean, that's why we're blind, because we're dead. That's why we're deaf, because we're dead. That's why we're dumb, because we're dead. And that's why we can't walk in the commandments of God. And we're lame, because we're dead. We're dead in sin. And the Bible tells us that very clearly in Ephesians 2, verse 1. And you has He quickened. What does quicken mean? Even if it's in italics, it carries the idea here, to be brought to life. And you has He quickened, or made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Dead, 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 dead. Spiritually dead. Go take your Bible and go to your local cemetery. I have a nice big one near me. Take your Bible, find a nice area, find a nice tombstone. You think will give you the best possibility for this grave, this individual to come out of the grave and arise, and start preaching to him. Start preaching to him. What is the individual in that grave going to hear if you preach to him about 8 hours? If you preach to him from sun up till sundown, what's he going to hear? Zip. What's he going to see? Nothing. Is he going to rise up? He's going to stay dead. Now that's a good illustration for us, and it really should cause us to really relax when we're sharing the gospel. And don't get uptight. Don't get angry with people, definitely. Don't get frustrated. What do you expect? What do you expect? When you share the Word of God and people do not understand about May 21 or any other teaching from the Bible, does anybody in the cemetery understand? Do they see it? Do they get it? No. No, well, obviously you wouldn't get frustrated. You would, if you were in the cemetery, you'd walk away and say, well, that was a foolish thing for me to do, to expect them to hear, to expect them to understand, to expect them to rise up. But the only difference is that people who are spiritually dead have physical life. They have physical life. And so when we do speak to them, we sometimes misinterpret the fact that they have spiritual life to indicate that they have spiritual life, and that they should see, and they should hear, and they should understand. No, that we shouldn't get that, make that mistake. But what we do, and this, you might say, well, why teach? Why preach? Why share the gospel? Because there is God who raises the dead. He raised Lazarus. He raised the widow's son. He raised the 12-year-old girl. And there's God who told the prophet Ezekiel, preach to the dead bones. And God asked him that question back in Ezekiel 37. When we go there, Ezekiel 37, in verse 1, the hand of Jehovah was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of Jehovah and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord Jehovah, thou knowest. From our perspective, if it was just us, can these bones live? No. There's no possible way they can rise up. But we know that God is the one who told us to go into all the world with the gospel, just like he's telling Ezekiel, preach to the dry bones. And Ezekiel obeyed. Verse 4, and he said unto me, prophesy upon these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of Jehovah. Hear. Lazarus, come forth. How did he hear that? How did he hear that? He was dead. How could Lazarus hear? And we know he heard because he got up and he came out of the tomb with his grave clothes on and he approached Jesus because Christ gave him life and gave him ears to hear. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And so we preach. We share Scripture. We give a tract. Whatever it is, because we hope. And we know God's going to save a great multitude today. And it could be any one of the dead. It could be any one of those that are presently dead in trespasses and sins. Well, God is the one who has blinded the minds of them in this world. You could also look at 2 Thessalonians 2. It doesn't mention blindness there, but this is actually spiritually a part of it. In verse 10 of 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, "And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness." God is blinding their eyes in a spiritual sense. But let's see what spiritual blindness is. And by the way, I forgot to ask this question at the beginning, but the question is, are you blind? Are you blind? Do you know it? Well, of course you would know it if you were physically blind, but how many people are blind and think they can see spiritually? Over 2 billion? Over 2 billion, we would guess, because that's estimated how many people think they're Christian, and so they think they have eyes to see, but really, are you blind? Is the question that I think God wants each of us to ask, and how would we know? Well, first, let's see what spiritual blindness is in Ephesians chapter 4. And in verse 17, it says, "This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart." That's spiritual blindness. It is ignorance. Beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Be not ignorant. Do not lack understanding of that, because that would be spiritual blindness. Spiritual blindness, if you do. It's spiritual blindness is having the understanding darkened. There is none righteous, Romans 3 tells us. How many understand? None. None that understand in Romans 3:11. That tells us everyone, every human being is blind spiritually. That's where we are. We have no understanding of the truth of the Word of God. We are in darkness. And God addresses this in Daniel 12. Now, just keep in mind that spiritual blindness is ignorance, lack of understanding. Daniel 12, verse 10. "Many shall be purified and made white and tried, but the wicked shall do wickedly, and none of the wicked shall understand, but the wise shall understand." None of the wicked. Those are those that remain in their sins. We're all wicked. None are righteous. We all began that way, but God saved some, and He gave the Spirit of Christ, which enlightens the darkness within us and opens up our ability to understand the Bible, and we can see. There's many hymns that have been written about spiritual sight and being able to see. And today God is indicating when He opens up the Bible after having it sealed for so long that none will be able to see the things spiritually that He is revealing, but only His people. Or go to Proverbs 28 and look at verse 5. Proverbs 28, verse 5. Evil men understand not judgment. Again, no understanding, which indicates spiritual blindness. But they that seek Jehovah understand all things. It's a matter of light and darkness, or day and night. That's why the Proverbs say a wise man's eyes are in his head, but a fool walks in darkness. He knows not what he stumbles after or upon. This is the condition of mankind. We shouldn't be surprised that so many people lack understanding, that so many people cannot see that judgment day is right at hand. They don't understand it. We also should not be surprised that the churches and the congregations cannot see it. But they say, well, no man knows the day or hour. In other words, the coast is clear. I don't see anything. I don't see Christ coming. I'm watching, and I don't know what you're seeing, but I certainly don't see any danger ahead. There's peace and safety, is what they're saying. Let's take a look at what God has to say about His people, beginning in Jeremiah 8 and verse 7. And again, keep in mind that, spiritually speaking, a lack of understanding is blindness. Jeremiah 8, verse 7, yea, the stork in the heaven knoweth her appointed times, and the turtle and the crane and the swallow observe the time of their coming. But My people know not the judgment of Jehovah. We're going to look at a few other verses. Look at Hosea chapter 4. Hosea comes after Daniel. And chapter 4, verse 6, My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to Me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. Or Luke chapter 19, verses 43 and 44. Luke 19, 43, for the day shall come upon thee that thine enemies shall cast a trench about thee and compass thee round and keep thee in on every side and shall lay thee even with the ground and thy children within thee, and they shall not leave in thee one stone upon another, because thou knewest not the time of thy visitation. Again, lack of knowledge, lack of understanding. The reference to one stone upon another is speaking of the church under God's judgment today. My people knew not the time of their visitation. The Jews didn't know Messiah was right there when He stood right in front of them. How could they miss the Lord God Almighty in the flesh? Only one answer I can think of. They were blind. They were blind. They were blind to the fact that He healed the blind, that He gave ears to the deaf, that He raised the dead, of all the miracles, that He multiplied the loaves. They were blind. They were blind. And so God stood right in their very presence, and they knew not the time of their visitation. And today, the church has learned from Israel, right? The churches and congregations are in much better spiritual condition than Israel was today. Is that so? No, it's not so. The churches today give every evidence of having absolutely, well, very little understanding of where the door to heaven is. Very similar to those that pressed upon Lot's house to get in, and God struck them with blindness that they could not find the door. That's the condition of the churches and congregations today. And so when the church is telling us, well, you know, you have nothing to worry about. You don't have anything to worry about. Judgment Day. Don't listen to that. We can't know the day or hour. It shouldn't really give any of us comfort. It shouldn't give anyone out there a sense of security that the church is telling them, don't worry about this. It should actually concern you. Look what Christ says in Matthew 15 and verse 14. Let them alone. They be blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind lead the blind, both shall fall into the ditch. That's referring to the spiritual leaders of Israel and the spiritual leaders today. Blind leaders of blind. Look at Matthew 23 and verse 16. Woe unto you, ye blind guides, which say, whosoever shall swear by the temple, it is nothing, but whosoever shall swear by the gold of the temple, he is a debtor. Ye fools and blind, for whether is greater, the gold or the temple that sanctifieth the gold? And in verse 24, same chapter, ye blind guides, which strain at a gnat and swallow a camel, woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for ye make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within they are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, that the outside of them may be clean also. Blind, blind, blind. They couldn't see. They had no understanding of the truth. And so Christ identifies them. They're spiritual blind guides. They're trying to lead people to heaven, and they're falling into a ditch themselves. And there's another reference that God gives that relates to today in Isaiah chapter 56. Isaiah 56 and verse 10, his watchmen are blind. They are all ignorant. They are all dumb dogs. They cannot bark, sleeping, lying down, loving to slumber. So there God is putting the two together. They're blind. They're ignorant. They're ignorant. To be ignorant means you lack understanding. And the watchmen are blind and ignorant, and they're dumb dogs. We often see watchdogs in junkyards. You put a dog out there because as soon as the dog hears something, it goes running towards the sound, barking real loud. You get a big enough dog, it can really protect your property, and he'll chase anybody who's trying to break in. That's a watchdog. But God says the watchmen, they're blind, they're ignorant, and they're like a dumb dog. A dog that can't bark is not much use as a watchdog. It might be moving its mouth a lot, but you're not hearing any sound. You're not hearing any bark because it's dumb. It cannot speak. Well, Christ set watchmen in the churches and the congregation. He set watchmen in his people when he said, watch therefore. Remember, Ezekiel 33 speaks of the watchman. When he sees the sword coming upon the land, he's to blow the trumpet and warn the people. But what if you're blind? What if you're blind and you're a watchman? I hate to do it, but I can't help it. F Troop. Vanderbilt. He was somebody we would say was legally blind. He had his specs, and he had squint his eyes, and they put him up in a watchtower. They put him in a watchtower to watch for Indians. It was a running joke because it was a comedy. You expect that from a comedy. This is a tragedy. This is a tragedy to have blind people standing watch for a sword that they can't see. They just can't see. This is what God is getting at. These watchmen, what makes it even worse, think they can see. They believe they can see. If you go to John 9, which is the account of the man born blind, and remember how the spiritual leaders of Israel gave him such a hard time because he testified that Christ had given him sight? Well, towards the end of that account, in verse 39, it says, "And Jesus said, for judgment I am come into this world, that they which see not might see, and that they which see might be made blind. And some of the Pharisees which were with him heard these words, and said unto him, are we blind also?" They're at least asking the question, probably in a sarcastic kind of a way, but that's a question for us today. Are we blind? Are you blind? Am I blind? Would you know if you were blind? Spiritually. Would you know? And so they asked Jesus, "Are we blind also?" Jesus said unto them, "If ye were blind, ye should have no sin. But now ye say, we see. Therefore, your sin remaineth." Because they think all is well between them and God. They're the leaders. They're the teachers of Israel, the masters, the rabbis. They're the ones who instruct the people. It's the harlots, it's the publicans, it's the sinners. It's the sinners that are the problem, not us. Remember, as God gave the example in Luke 18 of the publican and the Pharisee, and one goes to pray, and he says, "I thank you, Father, that..." I have to read it. I always remember portions of verses and not the whole thing. Luke 18, verse 10, "Two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. I'm righteous. I see. All is well between me and God." And what was the truth? What was the truth? Well, what this man is doing is what we read about in Revelation 3. In verse 17, "Because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not..." There's knowledge again, or lack of it. "Knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked." You don't know. You think all's well, everything's great and wonderful, but you don't understand. And this is part of the blindness, actually. Part of being spiritually blind, a big symptom, is not knowing it and not realizing it. And many people are in that condition. And God says, "You know not that you are blind." And then verse 18, "I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see." Anoint your eyes. And of course, that is through reading the Word of God, reading the Bible. That's how Christ can anoint someone's eyes, open someone's eyes. And all the healings of the blind point to that. Why don't we look at that? Look at Psalm 146 and verse 8. Jehovah openeth the eyes of the blind. Jehovah raises them that are bowed down. Jehovah loveth the righteous. So spiritual blindness, there is a cure. There is a cure, not in the world, but in God's hands. We'll look at Isaiah 35 and beginning in verse 3. It says, strengthen ye the weak hands and confirm the feeble knees. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, even God with a recompense. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened and the ears of the deaf shall be unstopped. See how it's connected? He will come and save you. Then your eyes are open. Then your ears can hear. Also in Matthew 9, in the New Testament, Matthew 9, verse 27, and when Jesus departed thence, two blind men followed him, crying and saying, Thou Son of David, have mercy on us. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him. And Jesus saith unto them, Believe ye that I am able to do this? They said unto him, Yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, According to your faith be it unto you. And their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, See that no man know it. So Christ, just it's not too hard for God. It's not too hard. He just touches them. Or he spit in some mud to one man and put it in his eye. He doesn't even have to do that. He can just as easily from heaven will it to be so. And he, as someone is praying to them, Oh Lord, have mercy. Oh Lord, open my eyes and help me to see. And you know what you will see if God does open your eyes? You'll see that we're at the very edge of the end of the world. You'll see that it's not as the world says. And some people might wonder, well, how can Judgment Day be next year? Less than 8 months away. How can it be May 21, 2011? And look at the world. Everything's just going on like normal. Everything's continuing on. People don't look afraid. People don't look concerned. They don't look worried. People are still planning their education, planning their future careers, planning marriages, planning to buy a house, planning for retirement. All that's still going on because the world's in darkness. It's a simple reason, but it's the true reason. The world is blind and cannot see these things, and it's not going to change. That's why it's going to come upon them suddenly, unexpectedly. The sudden destruction is what the Bible says. They'll be eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage because there's been a complete ignorance and lack of understanding, spiritual blindness toward these things. And this day, they're going to hear about and dismiss it, many people, and ignore it and continue with their life until they see it with their physical eyes. Then, it doesn't take spiritual sight anymore. Then they know. Then they know it's so. And they know that that God was telling them exactly what he was about to do well in advance of doing it. Let's go to Matthew 20 and verse 34. It says, So Jesus had compassion. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to have to back up. Matthew 20, verse 30. And behold, two blind men sitting by the wayside, when they heard that Jesus passed by, cried out, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And the multitude rebuked them, because they should hold their peace. But they cried the more, saying, Have mercy on us, O Lord, thou Son of David. And Jesus stood still and called them and said, What will ye that I shall do unto you? They say unto him, Lord, that our eyes may be open. So Jesus had compassion on them and touched their eyes, and immediately their eyes received sight, and they followed him. And again, if God opens your eyes, you'll see that what you thought was where you were in history, that you had plenty of time left in your life, maybe another 20, 30, 50 years, you're going to find you're right at the edge of the end of your life, like someone who was blindfolded and they're playing a game and they spin them around and the person starts walking and there's laughing and joking, and yet there's a cliff right there and they're about to fall off the cliff and perish. Remember when I think it was the prophet Elisha, he had a servant after Gehazi, because Gehazi was struck with leprosy. And we read he had another servant. In 2 Kings chapter 6, we find the story, the true historical story. In 2 Kings 6, in verse 15, now this servant, he's a little fearful, and it's because an army has encircled them. And it says in verse 15, and when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Jehovah, I pray thee, open his eyes, that he may see. And Jehovah opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. That's one stage of this story. But you see, God is, he's always told us, there's greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And we have nothing to worry or fear, because God is with his people as we share the gospel. And the world we can see with our physical eyes, and sometimes enemies can really multiply, and it looks like a lot of them. But really, spiritually, if God gives us eyes of faith, we understand there's nothing at all to fear. God will protect us. He will fight for us, and we can have great confidence in that. Well, it continues, though, in verse 18, and when they came down to him, Elisha prayed unto Jehovah and said, smite this people, I pray thee, with blindness. And he smote them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. God opens eyes, God closes eyes. He is the one who makes blind. And remember, the God of this world, you should really cross out the small g and put the capital G. It is Lord God. The God of this world has blinded the minds of them. And God is always the one who blinds. And here Elisha is praying, smite this people with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Verse 19, and Elisha said unto them, this is not the way, neither is this the city. Follow me, and I'll bring you to the man whom ye seek. But he led them to Samaria. Were they struck with physical blindness? How could they follow him? Or were they struck with ignorance? Were they struck with misunderstanding? They didn't know where they were. And Elisha steps in. Here, I'll lead you to exactly where you want to be. And he leads this army of the blind. And he leads them right into Samaria, where the king of Israel is all excited. Shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? Because this is like a gift. In those days, war was very hard and difficult. And here the enemy comes marching right into your very hands. And it would have been a simple matter to destroy them, because they had no idea where they were. to them, maybe they were taking a Sunday stroll. You know, casually walking around with total lack of understanding of the great danger they were in as they marched right into the camp of Israel. The question for you and me, where do you think you are? Where do you think you are? What do you think you're doing? Where do you think you're going? Well, the answer for all of us is that we're speeding along like a bullet train to May 21, 2011, Judgment Day. And if you think you're going to Disney World, or if you think you're going to the beach, or you think that you have some future beyond that in mind, there's only one thing to say to you, and that is the question, are you blind? The answer is yes. Yes, you do not understand. You lack understanding of what God is revealing. And the only way you can be content and continue to live as you do in the manner that you're living can only be that you're blind. It's the only answer. Let's go to another verse. This is an encouraging verse, Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Remember when Christ opens up the Bible and he reads from Isaiah in verse 17 of Luke 4 and then 18, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah, and when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." And he closed the book. This is what the gospel is doing today, preaching to the blind, the recovering of sight. You can see. You can see. It's possible. If God so wills, he can give you sight like he gave blind Bartimaeus. And we should approach him like Bartimaeus and cry out, "Thou son of David, have mercy. What wilt thou that I shall do for you? That I might see. That I might see. That I might understand. That I might know that my days are numbered. That I might realize that I have very few days left." One last verse, Luke 24. And this is basically that Jesus opened up the eyes of the blind men physically. And here we read of him opening up the eyes of the spiritually blind. And in verse 44 of Luke 24, "And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you, while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures." That is giving spiritual sight. That's what it is, and that's what we need. At this time, when God is opening the Scriptures, the word that was sealed, he's opened them up. Do you understand? Do you know the church age is over? Do you know that God has appointed a day in which he will judge the world? Do you know Christ was slain from the foundation of the world? And more than that, not only knowing them up here, but do we know, do we understand? I said that was the last verse, but this verse is necessary. Job 28:28, "And unto man he said, Behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding." If you see, it's not only intellectually, it's turning from sin, repenting, and departing from evil, like the Ninevites. That is true understanding. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father,